Hello and welcome to episode 230 of Checkpoint Chat. I had to think about that one. My name is Alessandro Barbosa. I'm joined, as always, by a distant Matthew Figuera.
I hope it's 230 because I logged in this morning. I said it's episode 230 and I just ran with it. So I don't actually know.
I think it is. I mean, I did double check you. It is 230. Okay, cool.
So we're good.
We don't have to start again.
Episode 230. We're on a whole new setup on the back end.
In four more episodes, it'll be 2, 3, 4.
Oh my God. You know? So the teach you to count episode.
That'll be fun.
I'm pretty sure we did that on episode 1, 2, 3.
Almost certain we made the same
Let's
joke.
Dive into
that was
the
like
archives,
120 episodes ago. So who can say?
120? That's too much.
Oh, you see, I need another counting episode
wrong.
Again.
Wouldn't it be 111? Yeah. 1, 2, 3. Yeah, 111.
What?
Don't
okay.
make, me, don't
Quick
make
math.
Me pull my calculator out.
And then the next time it will happen is 345. So that's still 115 episodes away.
My goodness. Yeah, one
actual
two,
year
three,
away.
Plus 111. Yeah, 2, 3, 4.
Doing long addition, long subtraction.
And they said,
you know, like when you put the numbers above each other and you go in column by column.
And they said maths wouldn't take, I lie. It's the opposite. They said we'll use maths in everyday life. And we were like, no, we won't. Look at us now.
Yeah, long, look at us now.
Long divisioning addition. On the fly.
Long divisioning. Just got to find a way to introduce trigonometry to the podcast.
Calculators
here.
From exams. Like, we're not going to have calculators in real life. You know, forgetting that my
you
phone
see, they,
has a calculator.
They got around that when I was in university because they could give us calculators for math. It wouldn't help. There were no numbers anymore. It was just all sorts of abstract letters.
Yeah.
So they're like, yeah, have a calculator. Good luck. If you're using that calculator, you should clearly just walk out of the exam.
So when I finished high school, I went and I studied IT at Varsity. I did not finish at careers, as we all know now, but pivoted. But I'll never forget that first week because you do calculus. And then in that first lecture, it's like, okay, we're going to recap. I mean, that first week, they're like, we're going to recap your entire matric syllabus. In the next week, you go, that's impossible. And they do. And they just carry on into the most absurd WTF territory. I hated it. I was like, F this.
I loved calculus. That was my shit.
No.
Algebra
like,
is what.
In high school, it was fine. Like, I did all right. I mean, I wasn't getting like distinctions or anything. But like, I know it's the thing of you know the formula, you figure it out, you go, oh, like I did it. But man, a lot of that Varsity stuff just went way over my head. And since then, I've always thought like you, all the people I know, yourself included, who are in IT or programming of some form, like you just have, there's a different way of thinking. You just have a different understanding that I just don't have.
I mean, I will 100% say that it is ruthless. Mm. Like, I was very good at maths in high school. Like, that was the thing that I didn't even really bother with, like, putting tons of effort into because, like, it just came naturally. And then
you're just the worst
hits,
kind of
like,
person
nope.
at school. You know, you're that guy who goes,
well,
I didn't
okay,
even
no,
study.
Just for me, okay, no, I did study. I definitely wasn't that person that didn't. I had to, like, put in some effort. But maths was, like, a thing that just it clicked, you know. But then, like, Varsity comes and you go in with that mentality. And you're used to not really like doing tons of work, and it just it humbles you very, very quickly. I mean, there are a lot of people I know who did incredibly well in maths at Varsity, like Shani, for one. I scraped through, absolutely
nice.
Scraped through in a subject that I used to think was part of my identity. Really humbled me in a very
but
weird
to,
way.
To rebrand from maths man to something else.
Yeah, exactly. To like 51% man. You know?
To barely passed guy.
We used to have a lecturer who said, she said, if you get 51, you're working too hard. If you get 49, you're working too little, which doesn't leave a lot of leeway, but I kind of appreciated that.
That's good life advice because look, you obviously want to do the best you can, but ultimately you just want to pass.
Work smart, not hard.
I'm not the only one who went into exams in varsity going like, man, okay, if this exam counts 70% and my assignment counts at 10%, we're like weighing up what I actually need in the exam and you go, it's actually fine. Like I don't need to like kill myself to pass this.
I did have moments of the inverse where like,
Yeah, 100%. It's like I need to somehow get like 40%.
Exactly. Like you know exactly what you need and like midway through writing something, you're like, this is not happening. There's no way. There is no conceivable way I'm getting this mark what has happened.
Look around
currently.
And there's like, the arsehole didn't study, like finished, pen down, playing.
Yeah, motherfucker, yes. Play,
like staring around the room.
Marvel snap, yeah.
Just marvel snapping at you. Like, damn. Damn, must be nice.
Oh,
my sound sparked there. Good luck at 6 minutes. I don't know why. My bar just...
Awesome. It's going to be great luck. Editing.
Godspeed. Yeah. So we're on my...
You know, I just got to pray for audition to just work magic.
Well, I just pray that everything's recording okay because I'm on my new PC and I hope I've set everything up properly. So...
Listen, very proud that you managed to get this going. It didn't explode.
Didn't explode.
Yet.
Please never share our chat history. All my questions like, what is this? Where does this go?
Listen, a lot of them were totally valid questions, except for like one or two. I was just like, what? Like, what?
In my defense, though, it's like literally never done that before. Let me tell you, that CPU, I've always known, never bend the pins. Ever, because you know that's you'll completely fuck up the CPU, and you would never want to bend the pins by default. But no one tells you. Like I watched a few videos, and I've watched you put a CPU in. You know, you pop it in, you put the little lever down, you just do it. I'm like, okay, yes, I had no idea that thing was so tight because I'm pushing it down. Like, am I going to snap my CPU?
It is terrifying. The amount of force required to latch that thing in is
every
not
video
nice.
I watch people
I
just
like
yeah you just plunk your CPU and you just latch it and I'm like doesn't even look doesn't even look like they're putting in any effort in. And I do it, I'm like it's like facing, it's vertical, I push it down, I'm like, oh my god, I need to like please don't snap.
it's one of those things. It's like there's like the cardinal rule of like if it requires too much force, something's wrong.
Yeah.
Like the CPU is the only one that goes, it defies that law. It's like, no, you need to put in a shitload of force to latch this thing down. Like it makes you second guess whether you've done it right. I know. I completely understand.
What a mindfuck when I've always known that the CPU itself has pins. Imagine my shock when I pull out the CPU, it's smooth, but the motherboard has the pins. I was like, what?
That whole thing made me laugh a lot because we went back and forth as to whether to give you an AMD or an Intel CPU, and you kept saying, no, I've always been Intel. I love Intel. And yet, like, you had this idea of how CPUs were, and Intel hasn't been that for, like, maybe 15 years. I don't know. I don't even know when last they had pins on their CPUs.
That is hilarious.
Like, it was just funny that you found surprise. Like, if you had always been AMD and then seen, like, this one and been like, oh, this one's different, then, like, yeah, sure, because they've just changed to that.
I've never built my own PC, so this is a revelation to me. It's like, wow, amazing.
It is so much nicer having the pins on the motherboard, I'll tell you that much. Having them on the CPU is terrifying. Well, that shit is scary.
I don't want to speak too soon. I don't want to put bad karma out into the universe because then I'll 100% get my just rewards, my next build. But I'm like, I don't know how you can bend a pin now because the CPU... Okay, yeah, see, this is why I don't put that energy out there. Because when you put it in, it seems pretty snug. Like, it can't move. So, I don't know.
Yeah, in general, that's true. But... I think I told you the story. I've bent a pin on the CPU socket on the motherboard before. I don't know how, but I have. So
how did
definitely
you fix that?
Possible. I got a new motherboard. I just bought the motherboard and I was building it. I must have done something wrong. And then like when trying to troubleshoot why nothing was working, I took the CPU out. And as I took the CPU out, I saw one of the pins on the bottom just like fall out. And I was like... I looked at it and I was like, well, That's a defect on the motherboard. Send it back.
Well, I'd love to be, first off, I'd love to be a motherboard manufacturer and look at the stats of how many motherboards come back with bent pins. But it's funny, even a lot of the videos I watch, like, oh yeah, you know, it's like an example video titled like installing a CPU for beginners, like everything you need to know. But then the video is like, yeah, cool. Then you plop it in, you know, blah, blah, blah. Pin. And if for any reason you've got a bent pin, you just use an electric pen. I'm like, I don't own one of those. I don't have an electric pen to like sit and mend.
I've watched videos of people repairing that stuff. It's a fucking nightmare. It's not easy.
I would never even try. First of all, why is that in a beginner's video? Like any average person has an electric pen or whatever the hell it's called. And second of all, I would never do that. I'd be like, nah, I done that, fuck up. I'm sending this back.
Yeah, I'd just RMA this board immediately and get a new one.
Yeah.
It's under warranty. It's great. Yeah. Yeah, you make a good point. Like, so many people buy motherboards because they're building their own PCs. So, like, and there's no way those warranties don't cover, like, you know, how can they prove, or how can you prove that the pin wasn't bent when you received it? Or was it a case of misuse, you know what I mean? So they just kind of have to replace it if you fuck something up like that. Yeah. So
But I think, again, I don't want to put this karma out into the world, but it must be the worst if you get a motherboard and it's legit faulty, like the PCI port doesn't work. Like I had that thought when my graphics card wasn't picking up. I'm like, but it's powered, everything's right. I don't have to disassemble my motherboard because it's faulty potentially.
So, yeah, God, imagine having to go through that entire process again.
I will say, to my own credit, I know how to do it now. Like, I know the inside of my case very well. I could get it apart relatively quickly, I think.
And you fit a chunky CPU cooler in there. So
that's the biggest of them all.
I think should have maybe gone with the thinner one, but... I Googled, I was like, what is the best cooler for this case? And people were like, oh, this one, I've got it in mine. I've got it. A lot of people like, oh, I got it mounted on the top, whatever. I was like, sick, cool. And then you come, you're like, fam, this does not fit on the top. I was like, it's impossible. There's no way. It has to. Turns out it does if you fucking Dremel part of the case off. So
One of the threads I saw,
did not
like,
know that.
I went the route of, I don't know what the exact terminology was, but it's like, I went the route of, like destroying the mesh. And I was like, no, I want to do that. It's like, I don't even have the tools to do that. Yeah. It's like, I've just moved countries. I've purchased a screwdriver, a multi-purpose screwdriver to assemble IKEA furniture and other bits and bobs. That's all I have. I don't have any electric pens or pencils and like any tools to like draw holes. and even if I wouldn't want to.
I think it'll be fine. Your GPU is like quite close to the bottom of the case, so I think it's going to be pulling in fresh air from the bottom.
I also thought
anyway.
That. It's so, yeah.
Yeah.
So the
and then
CPU
the top is your exhaust and your the intake for your CPU is like intaking to the side. So like the inside of your case will be cool. It'll be fine.
What is hilarious is like, because I bought this case with the dream of having a glass side panel. Well, I guess I can't do that now. My CPU black.
My bad.
Oh, no. It's not your fault at all. This case comes with both sides, thankfully. I would have been a bit fucked if I bought the glass only. I mean, I don't think it exists, but if there's
if that's why they do it, though.
Maybe.
Yeah. They must do it like that, because a lot of other places you can buy one and then you can like buy the other panels as an extra. So
which
I was surprised when it came
with
both for you. Yeah. Which is quite nice. To me personally, mesh, I know glass ones are nice, but mesh ones are way more airflow efficient.
Yeah.
So,
But yeah, man, this little case, super, super nice to work in. Like everything's
modular.
Now
you just need to fine tune fan curves and whatever. Obviously, like I think the thing you're going to come to realize is ITX cases, super nice and small, but they will never, ever, ever be as quiet as a bigger case because like you just need to pump more air into them to like cool them effect. Although the one you've got is one of the more like forgiving ones in that regard, I think. So
I don't know how you go smaller. Yeah. Holy shit.
Well, yeah. What did I say last time? That yours is a 20-liter case. I think many of the boutique ones are about 11.
Yes.
Yeah, like no half idea the size. Their layouts are so like constricted that, like, firstly, certain GPUs, like our GPUs being Founders Editions ones, will not work because the airflow pattern just does not, it will choke the graphics card like completely in the way that you require to set them up. And then, like, you need custom length cables because otherwise you're going to like bunch them all. It's, and then on top of it, they cost like $250 those cases because they're like very high end boutique. They're very nice. I would love to build in one, but you know, it is the amount of planning that goes into a build like that is immense.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, I'm very custom hardware.
Very chuffed with your recommendations. It's all running. It looks nice. Hot. I like it. It looks cool. Not hot because I've got good airflow.
I'm dying for a good case, a good reason to move to an RTX case, but like I have no reason to change whole motherboards just yet. But next build. For sure.
Yeah, I do think there is space at the bottom. I don't think I will battle with airflow, but I could put, if I really wanted, like some slim fans at the bottom. Yeah. Yeah.
Noctua makes some slim fans that you could pop into there and you can grab them off Amazon. Mm. So
just to like,
if at some point you're like, oh, I want to increase like cooling on here, then yeah, then you can go that route, I think.
But this PC build's done. I ain't opening this case for 5 years.
Shit. Never being clean, never doing
cleaning it, that's a future problem.
Just shove the nozzle of the compressed air through one of the mesh holes and just press, like
just the dust comes out, it's cool. Yeah. But even like it's a very clever motherboard because obviously it's super small, but the one NVMe slot is on the back of the motherboard. That's exactly where I put my first NVMe drive because I'm like, I'm never pulling this motherboard out again. That NVMe lives and dies with this motherboard because to change it, I have to literally pull the whole motherboard out. There's no ways I can do it without it living in my case, if that makes sense.
Wait, hold on. Do you have two NVMe drives?
I've got three on the motherboard. What? But I've got two at the moment. The motherboard's got three.
It's got three slots.
It's got
three
slots. And it's amazing because I was looking at the manual and I'm like, there's three.
That's
I can only see two. Where the hell is the third one? And then the motherboard instruction manual shows like it's like one and then two. It shows the label like in the same place. I'm like, but I can't see the third one. And eventually I was like, are you telling me that the third one's underneath the second one? And it is. There's like a little thing you have to take out and you can slot in another.
Oh, wow.
I was like, man.
That's pretty cool.
This motherboard, it genuinely blew. Like, again, I'm a complete novice with this sort of thing, but I can appreciate stuff like that.
I had no idea they were doing shit like that.
Yeah.
Like, that's why I'm surprised there was even three.
Yeah. That's,
wow.
But the one at the back, most impractical thing, it lives there, it's never coming out.
Listen, as long as you put your, because you've got a 97 Samsung 970 and a Samsung 980 if I'm correct,
yeah,
as long as you put the 980 in the slot closest to the CPU, the primary one, okay, good,
yeah,
then you're getting all the good speed,
yeah,
and your Windows installer's on that one, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, you're good.
I'm not that dumb.
Because a lot of people buy like they get this like crazy fast SSD and then they shove it into like the slowest SSD slot on their motherboard. It's like you might as well have not bought that thing.
Yeah, let me tell you, and it's worth it. Those little NVMe drives. I've reinstalled Windows and everything, and then I just had to juggle some files. So my old NVMe drive I bought from South Africa, I wanted to format it just so I have like a clean. So because it had like my old Windows on, whatever. So I had to move everything off it to my primary Windows drive to format it. So it was like half a terabyte and it copied over in like 7 minutes. I was like, what is
this? Yeah, it's even so fast.
That's flashbacks to like LANs or just years ago. I'm going to copy this this 40 gig folder and it's like, cool. See you in like an hour. Like, oh my God. Yeah.
I think what I love most about them in new PC builds is like, every single NVMe drive is two less cables that you have to route for a SATA drive. Because like a SATA drive is like SATA cable and then power.
Yeah.
So like, think about yours. Three NVMe drives, if you had to even make them, even if you had to make them the small SSD enclosures,
you know, yeah,
that would be six cables you'd have to run.
Yeah.
Like, no.
Got no SSDs. No. It's all NVMe from
fuck
here.
Fuck that noise. Yeah, it's so much better. I love those things. It just makes everything cleaner and so much easier. So,
yeah.
Long live NVMe.
Nice.
You know what else should live long?
That's probably our longest intro ever. I was going to say 20 minutes. And
the reason for that is it's very few video games to talk about. Let's check one chat. Talk about video games when there are ones to talk about. Listen, there have been games that have been sort of coming out. I mean, Baldur's Gate has been out. Neither of us have touched that yet.
True.
I know this week, a game I'm actually quite interested in, but there were no review codes that went out for it, and I just haven't had the time to like buy it and play it. But Bomb Rush Cyberpunk, it's such a weird name.
Nice.
The spiritual successor to Jet Set Radio came out.
Is that out this week? Okay.
Nice. Yeah, and apparently it's good. I've seen you know, a lot of people on Twitter that I follow also very big fans of Jet Set Radio. One, John Linneman from Digital Foundry, massive fan. And to see him tweet out and say, oh my God, they actually did it. This is good. Like, nice. I'm like, okay, fuck. Like, I really need to play this because someone like that would be very discerning as to whether it was like...
Yeah, is it good or not?
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, those games are out, been coming out, but haven't got the chance to play. So, like, I think we're both stuck on the same sort of games that we were playing last week, which is to say... Not to say that we haven't been playing anything. It's just like we're playing the same things. We're chipping away at the same things. So I don't know how much of a like an update we can give on each. I can talk a bit about Zelda, but now I'm going to start trading into territory where it's like, even me talking to you, I'm not entirely sure what I can say because I don't know what you've done and you don't know what I've done because we could be doing completely different things at the moment. Yeah. So, I don't know. I'm continuing to play Tears of the Kingdom. Mm-hmm. And I'm continuing to, like, very quickly now click with it in very good ways. It definitely is feeling a lot better now than it did in the first 10 hours where I kind of wasn't into it, like, mentally. Mm-hmm. But I'm now, like, 25, 30 hours in. And that's not to say you have to play this much to finally have it click. I just think it took this long for me to start seeing a lot of the new things that actually interest me a lot because I think a lot of the building, the few stuff didn't really vibe with me up until the point where I got certain abilities, which made that sort of stuff a bit easier, which I very much enjoy. But yeah, there's just some really good exploration moments that are happening. I'm finding myself just walking in a direction, discovering something, then taking a quick look around and being like, cool, I want to work towards that shrine in the horizon. And as I work my way towards there, I find other little things. And it's that, it's that, again, that organic exploration is now like got me again.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's real good. That's the drum I've been beating since like probably my first 10 hours in. I've said to on this podcast and to you guys in the Discord of like, this game obviously there are other similar games, but this game is unbeaten on its ability to just let you explore, like not holding your hand. And the best part, I think, is that it's hilarious that I've played like nearly 80 hours and you've played, I think I checked on your profile, you've played like,
25 to 30, yeah.
Which is like, I've played 50 more hours, but before we started podcasting, we were talking, you're like, oh, have you? And you were trying to like suss out if I'd done said thing or not. Like, have you done this? And it's like, oh yeah. I'm actually in the process of doing that. 50 hours.
Which
on,
is
like,
crazy.
Pure
yeah.
coincidence. We're doing the exact same quests. And it's just like, it shows how versatile and varied this game can be. Cause you doing it in your first 25 hours, that it took me 80 hours to get to the same part. And it is just that the thing of, oh, I'm going to go, I know I need to go to Burrito Village or whatever you're trying to do. And then you slowly make your way there. But then Next thing, you're on a Sky Island doing some other quest, and then you're in the depths doing some other quest, and then you're carrying a Korok to its buddy because it's you know, it's too far.
I never carry a Korok to its buddy because I hate those fucking missions.
I thought you were going to say you strap a jet on, you send it off. That's
I mean, I could do that, but fuck, I hate those missions. I think part of what has made this finally like so good for me is that I've let go of the things that don't interest me. So I think a lot of my first 10 hours was every little thing that I see in my periphery, I need to
do. You have to do it, yeah.
And I'm just like not. Like,
no.
I see a little Korok buddy on his back. Fuck that guy. He can go and walk to his little friend by himself. I don't care. I really don't give a shit. And that's totally fine. Like, yeah.
It depends because, like, if the buddy's close, I'll help them. But if it's too far, the person's like, oh no, I lost my friend. And then the camera pans, it's like on a mountain in the distance. I'm like, you're just going
to
live.
You have to like squint to see the smoke. And you're like,
that's cool.
You pick him up and attach him to a tree nearby. You're like, good luck.
You just live here now. Yeah. It's cool. Like, sorry, fam.
I do the little other Korok challenges where you see like yesterday I was gliding down from a Sky Island. And I just saw in a field below me these two circles of rocks, and one rock was like, Korok. And I was just 100%. Like, I just landed there, put the fucking rock in the space, and I got a little Korok dude going,
yeah,
you know, doing his little laugh, yeah. And then I'm like, cool, got a little seed. Continue. The ones with the buddy are too much. Like, I get that they give you two seeds because it is more time, but it's too much. I don't like them. Yeah. I really don't.
Well, have you
like them.
Found, oh, what's his face? He's trying to, I mean, you have to have the dude. He's trying to balance up the sun everywhere.
Oh, yeah. Multiple times. I like those. Those are fun.
So I've done a bunch of those, but I reached a point now where I'm on atop of some snowy mountain. I'm like, dude, you live here now. Sorry. I've got shrines to go tick off. Like, I'm so sorry.
I also don't know what his reward is. He just gives you like food. And I'm like, so there must be some like end goal reward.
I'm sure
here,
there must be, but after like, I must have helped him. I'm thumbsucking like 30 times, let's say. And it's still every time it's like, hey, there's 20 rupees, here's a meal, and here's like a bomb plant.
Gives you them rice balls. Yeah.
I'm like,
great.
Come on, man. Give me something. I've helped you 30 times now.
Have you actually started using your Korok seeds?
Yeah, do you not know where to use them?
No, I didn't until about 5 hours ago. And I just happened to be at Lookout Landing and big old fucking seed with maracas was there. And I was like,
thank God you didn't take 80 hours to find him there. Because that would have been...
Thank God it didn't take 80 hours to figure out how to upgrade your battery.
I mean...
To figure out a core mechanic that's explained to you in the first hour of the game. Yeah.
Listen, the first hour of the game was 79 hours ago. It's like a lifetime.
I cannot believe... When you put that on Discord, I like sat there for a second like... He's fucking with me. Like, there's no way that he's only figured this out now. And then on top of it, someone who's probably played more equal time to you, Mick.
Both of us.
Same thing. He's like, I still haven't figured it out. I'm like, how the fuck is this possible?
Listen.
How is this possible?
I've got poor memory. So anything you tell me in the first hour, it's gone. Okay, it's gone. It's information overload. But what's hilarious is that John Mark and Michael also was playing Tears of the Kingdom. Like, we spoke about it a lot. And we both were like, do you know where to upgrade your battery? No, we don't. I haven't figured it out. Eventually, it's like, oh yeah, and like, I know where to do it now. And I was like, okay. Like, I don't want to look
it's
it
also
up.
Not the only place.
No, it's not
There's
the only place.
There's many places.
I only know of two now. I only know of the second one because you told me about the second one. But he's like, don't overthink it. It's not that complicated. I'm like, I'm not overthinking it because so...
How can I overthink something I don't know?
For those of you who don't know, if in Tears of the Kingdom, as you know, you can build stuff, okay? But what powers that stuff is a battery.
And just like your iPhone.
Just like your iPhone. And unlike your iPhone, in-game, you can actually upgrade the capacity of your battery significantly, which I knew because I've seen those dumb Zelda builds going around on Twitter and going like, man, that person's got like 8 slots. That's insane.
Yeah.
And going through the menu and the items, like, I know the crystallized charge is the important bit. Even when you bump into those Zonar robots, whatever, in the depths, they're like, hey, I can convert some stuff for you. And they explain, they're like,
Zonar into the crystallized charge. I refine it or whatever. Yeah,
you can like buy stuff here or whatever. Oh, crystallized charges, that's what you use. That's what we use to upgrade batteries. Mm-hmm. I'm like, cool. Where the shit can I do it?
Not but where.
Not one of them said, oh yeah, like here's a handy hint, whatever. So I knew, and even going through my menu, that crystallized charge is a key item. You can't do anything with it. I just didn't know where to use it. So imagine my shock when it's like, I need to go back to Lookout Landing for whatever reason, and I'm busy running there. And funny enough, at Lookout Landing, there's no shrine in Lookout Landing. There's at Lookout Tower.
Mm.
Okay. So I often teleport there because then you're in that village. But by mistake, I teleported to the shrine that's like 100 meters away. Whatever.
Oh, by Hyrule Castle.
Yeah. And I was like, oh, man, like, now I've got to run back to Lookout Landing. And I ran and I'm like, huh, there's this weird looking ledge here. I don't think I've been up here.
There's also a dude that is standing there looking up at it. Like,
no. So in my game, funny enough, the dude was sitting. We'll put a pin in that. We'll come back to it. But my dude was sitting and I went and I spoke to him and whatever. And I was like, I haven't climbed this thing. Imagine my shock when I climbed to the top and the dude's like, hey man, I can upgrade your battery.
This is the zone I do there.
There's me riding the bus going, oh my God.
Finally.
I must actually put that video on Twitter. You know how many charges I had? I
can only imagine at that point.
I had 1,000.
So this is something I want to ask because I've only upgraded once because when I got 100 charges, I was like, I like beeline to that guy.
Mm. And did it give you a little...
And then I realized he only gives me a pip of a new battery. And I was like,
I got 10, but I've got like...
So it is 100 the whole time. Okay. Mm.
But I've got like, it forms batteries after every 3 or 4, I think.
Three.
So I've got like...
So you basically got three additional
batteries.
I've got
three and a bit batteries now, yeah.
Game changer. So you've got 4 batteries now.
And like I was telling you before we started recording, the number of times I'm like, I need to get to that Sky Island and I've got my hot air balloon, but I don't have enough battery to get up there. And there's me feeding my Zonar charges into my single battery just to keep recharging, burning through this resource because I need to get to that Sky Island. Man, now that I don't have that restriction, game changer. I'm out there driving vehicles, flying, doing all sorts of things. Yeah, it's crazy.
Have you built a... So I listen to a lot of podcasts and a lot of them like talk about Zelda incrementally, like sort of like we do. But Jeff Grubb on the Giant Bomb podcast has been... He finally hit credits on Legend of Zelda because he needed to move on to Starfield.
With his laugh.
But he always keeps talking about a hover bike that he builds to get around places.
So
what is a hover bike? I've not built one. I've not seen one. Like,
so for those of you listening, if you've not played the game and you don't want any, I mean, this isn't really a spoiler, but if you want to go completely unspoiled, just block your ears for the next minute. Okay. So the ability you were talking about was the auto build, right?
Yes.
Which is buried in the depths for God knows what reason. So many
and
people are
through
going to
a
miss
very
it.
Convoluted quest. Yeah, so it's many people. Very, so
I'm,
very strange.
I'm
yeah.
Grateful. I got it relatively early. And I was like, holy shit, I cannot believe this is hidden down here. Thank God. Imagine if I found that after 8 hours. I would have cried.
I only found it after 20. So
the auto build, as you know, is it sort of stores your latest creations, whatever. But have you found any schematics yet?
From a few people, like there's one that's right there where you get the auto build who gives you a schematic for like a flying thing, and then I got another schematic for a hot air balloon.
So I don't have a hover bike, but I imagine that maybe there is an auto build hover bike. I've got tons of things. I've got a bike with a laser beam in front, which is just I build every
a
time.
A laser beam.
Yeah, there's
What do you mean a laser beam?
No, there's one of those. You know, like you get the that Zonar device that spits fire, for example. There's one that spits water. There's one that spits ice. There's one that shoots like, it literally looks like a laser beam. It does damage. Okay. It's a blue
beam.
I've
only encountered the fire one. This is news to me.
You'll see it when you watch any of those.
I think
crazy
I've seen
builds.
Now that makes sense because I've seen some like big builds of robots with fucking laser beams coming out of them.
So that's one of those heads. So I've got a bike that I can also build that it comes with that lazy beam on the end. But the only reason I build it is because I'm like, it's easy to get around with. So maybe this dude
fucking smokes fools in front of you.
Maybe there's a hover bike accessory. I don't know, because there's some crazy things that they give you, which is really cool. Like the one I've got, it's called like a fish trawler or whatever it is. And it's literally like a raft with like a three walls of a square, you know, to like catch stuff. And it's got an electric thing. So when you pilot it in water, it just kills everything and then you catch it. And let me tell you, that's given to you. I didn't invent that. Someone on the Zelda.
Fucking like irresponsible fishing device I've ever heard of.
Someone on the Zelda team thought, what a genius idea.
So it's like Zelda's version of fucking fishing with dynamite. Like, what the fuck? That is crazy.
So when I see things like that, I'm like, there are definitely schematics I'm missing. It's great. I unlocked one.
I want to recreate that myself now, honestly.
I unlocked one recently that made me laugh. It's literally just, it's called Long Bridge. And it's literally like, I'm not even kidding.
It's the Long Bridge.
It's like 10 or something slabs slapped together and it's just a long bridge.
Listen, that would be so useful to me because I've done that manually so many times now. Like, I think I did it in the fire temple because there's actually like a point where you need to do that because you need to like build a bridge so that you can like propel the little Goron dude into a wall and he doesn't like fall in lava or something. But then yesterday there was a shrine that, not a shrine, one of the towers, the lookout towers, was in like on like an island in the middle of like a lake. But it was like high up. And then on the side, I was like, I can't swim there and then climb. I'll have no stamina. So then on the side, there were like a bunch of wooden planks. So I just fucking built a bridge and then like angled it and went ka-dunk, and it just like made like a ramp and I just walked up. Like, and so if I could do that on auto, that'd be fantastic.
Yeah, but I mean, how many wooden planks did you use, give or take?
Like, it was like five.
Five. Okay,
10 is insane.
This bridge
is
long.
How the fuck am I going to manage when like you, rotating
Yeah, when
that
you
thing?
Rotate, I'm like, oh, Link's going to hit himself in the head. And it doesn't. It's just like, it automatically puts it in front of him.
You haven't done the fire temple yet,
have you? I have done the fire temple, yeah.
So did you ever, again, like if you don't want spoilers, whatever, but the fire temple, a lot of the fire temple is like, it's predicated on like mine carts on the rails and whatever. And there's always those points where you could hit like a switch and it would rotate the mine cart. I died about twice doing that shit because I used to have a fan on one end of the mine cart and I'd hit that fucking switch and it would rotate and that fan would get caught on something and it would yeet itself at my head and it would just hit Link in the head and instantly kill me. And
I'll be like, I'll watch you going somewhere different with that. Because what happened to me at that temple is that there's a lot of times you like leave your cart, you go, you do something, you come back. How many times did you come back and your cart had reset? Like it's gone.
Yes, yeah. That temple is aggressive with the resets. Like, and I get why it never wants to leave you in a fail state. But like, yeah.
I swear I parked my cart right here. And it's like respawned on the other side of the fire. I'm like, damn you, Nintendo, give me my fire card back.
I think what I love most about that temple was I learned very quickly how chaotic a rocket can be when strapped to a minecart. Because there's that part where you need to strap the rocket to the minecart to get over a gap. But boy, you can align that thing perfectly on every side of the minecart, it will still find a way to fuck with you. Like it like leaves the minecart tracks and it just tilts and you're like, oh no. You just fall down into lava. Like
somebody make a mod for Link because he doesn't talk. Link just mute, never speaks. Somebody create a mod where just speech bubbles coming. No, it's just speech bubbles coming out of his head. So he's on a rocket that's going skew. It's just like, oh no.
This should just be like a chat wheel that you can bring up and like emote speech bubbles on Link.
Oh my god! Can you imagine?
God.
Oh, Legend of
Nintendo missed a great opportunity to like, you know, when you fall in lava, Link does a whole like grasping for air while he like kind of like melts in lava and dies. Very funny. They should have done the thing that Doom did, where they recreate the thumbs up from Terminator, just like Link doing a thumbs up as he goes down.
My God. That, yeah,
but it'd be fantastic.
Tears of the Kingdom, guys. So we're going to talk about it for long, because it's a long game and it's good. It's so good.
So I won't talk about what I saw, but I've come across the equivalent of the memories in Tears of the Kingdom. So Breath of the Wild had these as well, where you'd go to certain points in the map and it would recall like a memory from the past.
You had like a photo, you know,
before Link was put to sleep. Yes, yeah. Exactly. So there's an equivalent here, which I knew there would be. It's kind of cool how they've changed it. I think the quest itself is a bit more engaging. But man, just of the two or three memories that I've seen so far, I'm kind of starting to get an idea of where the story is going, and it is very interesting. Very, very, very interesting. And I'm trying to understand where certain like events are converging, because it is a bit confusing now. Like, I don't know when things start and when they don't.
Yeah.
But I'm like, now I'm like all in on just hunting down these memories, because I want to know more. And this game is very good. And I think the game, again, if you take it on your own terms, like as soon as I let go of all the feeling like I was missing out on things by, you know, I've activated like a bunch of watchtowers now.
Yeah.
Without like scouring each of the regions that they reveal in between. And it's not like, oh, I won't come back here. It's like, I definitely will come back here. But I don't need to like 100% this region before I move on to another one. I can just like, you know, take it as it comes. Let it be organic.
Yeah. And
I know that's very difficult for some people to kind of like let go of that like lizard brain thing where you're like, I need to check off every little fucking thing in this place before I move on. But the game will be better for it if you manage to do that, I think. So
it's a great game.
It's very good. I
absolutely love it.
Definitely going to be playing this for like 100 hours again. Yeah,
wait till you start exploring those depths in detail, man.
I have been. I've been exploring them quite a bit. I don't like them down there, but I know there's some cool shit down there. Like,
yeah, it can be frustrating, but there are some good rewards down there. And it's just, there's something satisfying about lighting up each part as well. I like it.
There's so many fucking Yiga clan down there. Jesus Christ. The number of people I come across are like, oh, thanks for lighting up the area around me. Now I can see when I kill you, and you're like, oh my God, okay, whoa, just calm down.
I just want to know how many of those text prompts are, because I've never had duplicate text, and I've bumped into a lot of
clan
peeps. Oh my God, so
there's
many.
There's also just there's text that, like, when I see it read out, I'm like, how the hell is this so specific to the environment I'm around? Like, like I told you earlier, I came across just this random person traveling in the rain, and she had text that was written specifically for like, oh, you're out here running around in the rain. You should go and do this, do that. And I'm like, do you only appear in the rain? You know, do you have different text if it's not raining? Like, there's a lot of polish in this game.
There's a lot. I've had the same thing where it was raining and there was a dude just chilling under like sheltered. And I went and I spoke to him, and he's like, oh man, like it's raining. If you climb, you're going to slip. I'm like, what do you say if it's not raining? Like, you have rain specific flavor text. Like, that's really cool. And that happens all the time.
It's just random dudes, like random people in the world. Yeah. Mm. No, it's cool. Quite clever, yeah. I mean, this is the longest there has been between two core Zelda games ever, which is kind of weird to think, because it didn't feel like that.
No.
But like, they use this time wisely for sure. Yeah. For sure. Also, fuck anyone who says this is just a rehash of just Breath of the Wild. Like,
I want to
shit
in my
pants.
It is
unbelievable how ignorant that take is. Like, there is so much shit here that is so different it's completely different scales. Yeah. It is nowhere near just like a rehash.
Yeah, but like, even the map itself is the same, but it's like it's really not. And even if it was a copy paste, who are you that you have memorized the map? This huge map. You're like, oh, I can't believe they did me in like this, using the same map.
There's also two entirely new maps above and below the existing map.
Nah,
and they are just as large and expansive, and
I don't know.
Get out of here. Get the fuck out of here.
Get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tears of the Kingdom, real good.
Tears of the Kingdom, A plus. Yeah, definitely A plus. Game of the Year material in my view.
Yep.
Do you want to check in on Final Fantasy, or you?
I've not actually barely played this week. Honestly, this week's been very busy, and I've played like 2 hours, so I can't really check in. I'm gonna
say no. You've played 2 hours. Have you built a ship?
No. Not yet. I know.
You're busy doing that, aren't you?
No, still not.
What?
You
beat Bahamut, didn't you?
Yeah, the calamity has happened.
Okay.
But at the moment, I'm just checking in on people going like, oh no, you're under attack by these, what they're called?
Oh, you're doing side stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
You haven't spoken to Mid. Okay.
Not yet, no. I think that's okay, all kind
that's
of,
like the next big.
Yeah.
I would do that purely because the shit she gets you to do forces you to go to different parts of the world anyway. So you can kill two birds with one stone type of thing while chasing side missions.
I'm just ticking off things as I go.
Oh my God. Okay. Enjoy your fast travel shenanigans soon.
Oh, well. Yeah. God damn.
Cool. Should we. Oh, Jesus, I just opened up like AI Bing on my web browser now. I don't know what's going on. ChatGPT! Should we head on over to game releases real quick? I don't actually know if there's much. We are looking at games releasing from yesterday, actually. August 19th, up all the way until August 25th. Payday!
Nice.
Fuck, I can't wait for Payday. I'm so poor.
You and me both.
I say that, and I went to Franco's last night, you know. Had to remind them that there's at least one fan who still loves them.
There's at least one of us still here. Don't forget about us.
I went right up to good old Franco Jr. and I gave him you know the thing from Captain Phillips. It's like, look at me, I am your number one fan now.
He's like, who are you?
Yeah, he's like, the fuck are you? Get out of here!
Never seen you in my life.
Why are you behind the pizza counter? What's going on?
Okay, so we've got like nothing. Except like...
Yeah, there's... No, there's nothing.
Three things.
Oh, no, there's one, two... Oh, no, there's three things and one of them's pretty big.
It's pretty big.
Well, Smurf's caught, man. Damn.
I've been waiting for this game my whole life. Smurf.
I don't know why this is out of chronological order. But Smurf, I'm going to read it as if it
August
isn't.
22, and then, yeah.
Yeah, Smurf's card, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, August 22. I don't know. Smurfs, which Smurf would you choose in Smurf card?
The blue one.
How many Smurfs do you know?
Oh, I know the grandpa Smurf. I can't think of
Papa Smurf, yes.
And then there's actually remember.
The girl, who's the only girl.
Of course.
I don't know what her name is, though. Yeah, Lady Smurf.
all the names have
then been, there's, you know. Then there's the main character with the red hat who's just probably stereotypical bland-ass Smurf. I don't know his name.
Hold up. There's a main character in Smurfs?
Yeah. Shut I'm pretty sure door. The main... Okay, hold on. Main Shut character in Smurfs.
Main character... I know the cat had a cool name.
Oh, Smurfs. Okay. No, maybe I'm wrong. Here's a list of Smurfs, though. The girl Smurf who we never had the name for, Smurfette. Then there's Papa Smurf.
Mm-hmm.
Then there's Brainy Smurf, Clumsy Smurf, Hefty Smurf. Wow.
Damn.
Grouchy Smurf. I didn't realize the Smurfs were just dwarves.
The dwarves, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And then... The bad guy is Gargamel.
Gargamel. Well,
and Azrael, the cat.
If you like that universe, there's a kart racer coming because, of course, there's a kart racer coming. Go figure.
Speaking of kart races, Ride 5, which is, if I'm not mistaken, motorbikes? Like superbikes?
Not at all karts.
I don't know. PC, PS5, Xbox Series X and S, and then the big release for the week. Very, very big. Armored Core 6, Fires of Rubicon. PC, PS4, PS5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X and S. Super,
nice.
Super curious about this just because I've never played an Armored Core, but I've played them FromSoft games and Yeah, and curious to give this a go and see what it's about.
Long time since they've made an Armored Core. I mean,
do you know there's 13 of these games?
Yes, that is crazy. But I do love it that, yeah. the official page says something along the lines of like, and From Software have taken learnings from their previous games. So, and I'm like, okay, so there's going to be hard bosses and some Dark Souls.
I mean, I don't know if you watched good old Vati Vids.
I've watched nothing on this game. Like,
he had a very long video, like preview after he got to play the game for a couple of hours.
Mm.
And he's like, yeah, this is an Armored Core game. Like, it's still... Mm. Okay. Unapologetically Armored Core, but at the same time it's got much, much, much better tutorials so that it doesn't just throw you into the thicker things without you knowing.
Mm.
And it's got the aggressiveness and fast-paced action of Sekiro. And I was like,
nice.
Son,
are you telling me
Sekiro
that
Sekiro with robots?
Mechs parrying each other? Take my money.
Fucking get in. Get in.
Take my money, because that's coming this week.
Yeah, very keen for that.
Man. We've still got Lies of P coming end of the month, I think. It's
shit, yeah. And that's on Game Pass.
God damn.
Lies of P, Baldur's Gate coming to PS5. And then...
a week before Starfield.
Literally, 1st of September is Starfield for Early Access peeps. Then September 6th is Starfield for normal peeps. I mean, reviewers have Starfield.
Yeah.
The review embargo is on the 1st of September, like a few hours before the Early Access goes up. So yeah, big things.
It is hilarious that Baldur's Gate is inadvertently a PlayStation exclusive and it launches like the week before. Any of the for the early access. Only like one of the one if not the highest reviewed game this year. One of the best.
That game is gonna sell gangbusters on PS5, I tell you now.
I know. Good lord.
And it helps that everything that people have said on the PC version, that the controller support is extremely good. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah.
Cool. Shall we?
I'd love the game on Switch, but I think it would literally melt the Switch.
Oh my God, it would melt. Play it on your...
It is melting PCs. Like, older CPU PCs are struggling with this game.
You could play it on your Steam Deck, though, surely? Just with, like, super low settings.
I've read articles saying that you can...
Mm.
It's just not the prettiest way to play it, but it's definitely playable.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
I mean,
I do want to grab it on Steam though, because it's like $800. It's like not that bad. No. And I think I want to pick it up with other people, like run a campaign.
Yeah.
You know, like with other people, because that's how it kind of works. If you start a character in a campaign with other people, that character's confined to that campaign. If you start your own single player one, you have to start a new character, which makes sense.
Yeah.
But if the host of that campaign continues playing, they can continue playing with your character if they really want to. We should definitely do that. I'd be keen to get that going with you and others.
Your two month long stream schedule every Tuesday and Thursday. Let's do it.
Done.
My God. Cool. Shall we get to gaming news?
Man, we made it a whole hour into this podcast and my cat has only come to
bed. Oh, nice. Oh, there's a tail. We've actually done very well. 53 minutes. Who knew? I have not even read any of this news. So you're going to have to tell me, what do you want to headline with?
There's a lot of like big stuff here. I think the big thing here is, which is not necessarily big, but like Modern Warfare 3 is a thing, but also it's going like open world in its mission structure, which is kind of interesting to me. Modern Warfare 3 is this year's Call of Duty. It is, shocker. Well, it's now officially confirmed. It's being helmed by Sledgehammer Games, who lasted... Fuck. What was the one before Vanguard? Cold War. So this hasn't been confirmed by Activision, but apparently this was first conceived as a expansion to Infinity Ward's Modern Warfare 2 from last year. And this would be technically the first time Call of Duty would take a year off.
Yeah.
I don't know at what point that changed, but it sounds like it changed very late. And this became a standalone thing, the very first time that a Call of Duty year on year would be the sequel to the one prior.
Yeah.
Somehow that's never happened, which is crazy. So yeah, this is like story-wise, it's going to continue the events from last year's one. I thought last year's campaign was kind of lame compared to the first Modern Warfare reboot in 2019, which I thought was quite excellent. Mm. So I'm curious to see how they do this. They're bringing back things like Makarov from the old Modern Warfare 2, you know, the whole no Russian thing. If you played Modern Warfare 2 last year, you'd know that the last scene in the game is like a bunch of terrorists on planes with 3D printed guns, and someone gets a text on their phone and it says no Russian, and it's like, ooh. You know, it's like, they're like redoing that whole thing. So, yeah.
That is everyone's exact reaction. Amazing.
So, yeah, I think that's, this game's going to retread a lot of ground from old Modern Warfare 2, despite being called Modern Warfare 3. It's very confusing. The thing that piqued my interest was this idea of open combat missions for the campaign. And GameSpot here, by way of Eddie Mouth. I don't know if I'm saying that right ever.
McCooch.
Australian or American name.
I don't know.
Yeah. And I've worked with him for so long and I just still don't know. Feel very bad. So according to him, these missions will have choices for players. In the blog post by Activision, players will have numerous additional choices for how to complete a mission. Quote, for example, if you prefer to use stealth techniques, you may wish to undertake an OCM, with a lights out approach using night vision goggles and suppressed weapons, and complete your objective without your adversaries knowing you were even there. The company said, however, if light explosions and reckless abandon are part of your repertoire, strap extra armor plates onto your torso and hit those targets head on. Now, that makes it sound like there's a lot of depth to the missions. What I think is going to happen is there is a scenario, you choose your loadout, and then you play out that scenario.
Yeah.
That is literally going to be the effectiveness of your choice, and I really don't think these scenarios themselves are going to fundamentally change depending on which approach you take. Apparently, there will be a number of vehicles that players can use within these like open combat areas, as well as multiple angles to approach your objective. So the landscape won't necessarily like funnel you down the same path. You'll have a like wide array of ways to tackle this, which is pretty cool.
Sounds cool, yeah.
A big thing is that these won't replace traditional missions. These open combat missions will be some missions within the story and not all of them. So, yeah.
Nice.
I think they were experimenting. If you played Modern Warfare 2 last year, there were definitely glimmers of this there. I know the sniper mission there that was meant to be like an analog to All Ghillied Up was kind of like this. Like, you had a very wide area in which you could move in and you could tackle objectives in different orders. So, yeah.
Yellow.
Cool. It's interesting. It's coming on November 10th. Multiplayer has like a bunch, if not all of the maps from the old Modern Warfare 2. It's going to have zombies. So yeah. Cool.
Nice.
The zombies mode is also going to be open world, which is super interesting.
That's quite cool. Yeah. Is this a full paid for game?
I presume $70.
So. What happens with the multiplayer though?
What do you mean?
Is it going to be completely separate? Modern Warfare 2 multiplayer will be separate to Modern Warfare 3.
Yes. So it will be separate, but they're, for the first time ever, they're bringing over
all
of your purchases from Modern Warfare 2 to Modern Warfare 3.
Hmm.
Which I think is very smart, because Modern Warfare 2 did not hit in the way that previous multiplayers did, I think. And rather than like clean cut people and make them feel like they invested into something that they already didn't enjoy, bring that shit over into a multiplayer that is maybe more tuned and refined that they will enjoy, but they don't feel like they have to invest tons of money into again. So smart choice, I think. Smart choice.
Yeah. Well, that's right. What is this other article then? Oh, this is just
kind of the same thing. Okay. Yeah, same thing.
Okay.
What do you want to bounce to next?
Let's just look at Starfield, because that's a coming. Oh, so this is the preload dates for Xbox and PC confirmed. I think I saw it's 120-ish gigs or 100 gigs.
Yeah, it's something. No, 125. Something. Yeah, 125. Yeah, that's it. So if you're on Xbox, you can preload it now. Like you can start preloading it so that on the day you're ready to go. I think PC is only on September 1st or something like that. Let me see. Oh, no, August 30th. So just before the early access. Nice. Yeah, there's some PC requirements here as well. The recommended specs, which again is a very nebulous thing because you never really know, aren't that high. It's a Ryzen 3 processor, so 3600X, which is like two gens behind now, or a 10th gen i5, 10600K, also three gens behind now, actually, from where Intel is. 16 gigs of RAM, which is, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. Or a 6800 XT or 2080, RTX 2080 for graphics. I think this is for like mid-range 1440p running. I suspect you'll need a fair bit more to get it going. At high resolutions, especially in terms of RAM and VRAM, because this game's loading a shit ton into your memory at any given time.
Oh, additional nodes, SSD required.
Yeah, not shocked by that at all. But yeah, that's out on September 1st for early access, folks, if you want to pay $30 more, or September 6th for everyone else, especially those on Game Pass.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is definitely a Game Pass game for me. I'm going to give that a go.
I will get to it.
I mean, this is what I pay for Game Pass for, is to get releases like this. So yeah,
exactly. I would be very.
Don't know whether I'll play on Xbox or PC though. Not entirely sure yet.
I think for you, probably Xbox, because then you have.
I think so too, because I like playing on my TV. Yeah. You know, but it's like 30 FPS. You know, which is not a huge deal for me if it's nice and. I mean, I'm playing fucking Zelda at 30 FPS on a TV, and
but Zelda's
again, does
art.
Not stick to that. And that does not stick to that. Boy, let me tell you, when I explode things.
When it struggling. Rains in the upper mountain, that Switch is crying. Sweating.
It's like, where is my pro version? Please help me.
I'm very keen to see how Starfield does. I do wonder if we will ever see them release, like, oh yeah, like it's not going to be 10 million copies sold necessarily because it's a Game Pass title. So I wonder how
they say number of people playing.
They'll say number of people playing, yeah.
So they did that for Hi-Fi Rush just this past week, and the figure was a lot lower than I thought, which made me very sad. It said only 3 million people have played Hi-Fi Rush.
That's criminal for a game that good.
That is criminal because that game fucking rules and it's on Game Pass, and why didn't more people not play this? Very, very... Also, just goes to show you, there was so much like social media fervor around it when it came out.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily translate into like actual playing numbers.
Look, to be clear, 3 million is a lot, but it still feels low for a game that good. It's like more people should play that game because it's...
Agreed.
It is.
I think Starfield's going to be magnitude.
I think
larger.
It's going to be 10, 20.
It's going to be a big game. Yeah. This is a big game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like people have been poo-pooing on it because it's like, Starfield, oh, it's only an Xbox. This, I can tell you now, the masses. I have a guy at work who is literally like, he's trolled me twice now. He's considered buying an Xbox just to play Starfield. Like it's that sort of like itch that people have been waiting for from a Bethesda game. So
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of Tears of the Kingdom, tell me what is up with the Blood Moon's secret purpose.
Oh, this is so cool. This is like one of those little game dev things that like tickles my fancy just because it's like such a cool inside story on the game. So if you played Tears of the Kingdom or if you played Breath of the Wild, because I assume this was actually done in Breath of the Wild as well for the same purpose, you'll know that periodically a blood moon rises and you get a short little cutscene where Zelda says the same thing over and over again. And all of the enemies in the game respawn. Now, initially I thought, okay, this is just a way to keep the open world continually feeling like there's stuff there to do.
Yeah.
Because if you just wipe out whole camps of bokoblins, like eventually there's going to be nothing left for you. You know, the Far Cry 2 problem of things. Turns out there's actually a deeper reason why this happens. So a regular blood moon happens every 168 minutes, or the equivalent to 1 week in in-game time. The reason this happens on such a fixed basis is so that the Switch can actually clear its memory of what camps have been cleared out, where enemy positions are, things that you've done in the world that might have a lasting effect, and reset that so that it can start building that up again.
Yeah.
So some players have actually found that you can force the moon to trigger earlier than expected if you overload the Switch's memory by doing all sorts in the game. So you can pressure it, for example, by having too many objects in Link's vicinity, because all of those things have to be stored within memory.
Yeah.
So then the blood moon triggers, it wipes out those things. It acts as like a kind of reset for the world so that the game doesn't literally crash on itself.
Yeah.
One documented way to trigger the blood moon is a player firing several opal-infused arrows with a Lionel bow at a breakable rock wall. So a Lionel bow fires three arrows at a time, and opals create a splashing water effect. And if you fire it at a wall that breaks, the animations just overload the Switch, and you immediately trigger like a blood moon.
Wow.
It's kind of cool. It's one of those things where it's baked into the game. It's doing like a very important function of the game in the background that you have no idea about. And it's contextualized within the game very well. If you go back in time, there are very bad examples of how something like this is handled. So on the Xbox 360, a very popular example is Morrowind on there.
Mm.
Would sometimes take forever to load, like into a new area or into the game. And the reason for that was not only was it trying to clear the memory in the background of the loading, but the devs actually found a way to reset the entire Xbox while the load screen was up and have it boot essentially almost from scratch so that it would clear certain parts of the memory and allow the game to continue functioning. So there was a whole console reboot happening behind a loading screen, which is why it took forever, but they were like, this is the only way to get this game working.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Crazy. I don't know, shit like this is very very cool to me. Cool. I love it. So every time you see a blood moon, just know the Switch is being relieved of its memory duties and breathing a sigh of relief.
Let's go.
That
is fine. So you could actually use that. I'm trying to think in Zelda, because obviously when the blood moon triggers, everything resets. I'm like, what would you use that to farm if you could replicate that? But I mean, you'd need to get a lot of arrows, Lionel bows, topaz or opal.
You're kind of right though. I wonder if that comes into like a speed running tactic for a certain percentage category, like fastest run moon to get max batteries or something, like use the blood moon to farm Zonide or something like that.
No. Yeah.
It's very cool.
I can't wait to finish a game so I can go watch shared speedruns.
Same. See all the links running while whistling for their horses so they save stamina. It's great.
Let's look at Vampire Survivors adding co-op.
I want you to talk me through this one because you've played a lot more. I've not like gotten into this game like other people, but I want to know from you if something like co-op sounds cool.
I don't know how it would work. So just for the record, I haven't played the co-op mode or anything yet, but I don't know how it would work because playing this game alone is chaotic enough that you've seen videos. Mm-hmm. That screen is so full of chaos and disaster. How do you do that with four people now in total? Like, how does it work when, you know, you must choose your upgrades at the same time, whatever. All that said, must be a lot of fun. Imagine just a cool way to like chill out, some downtime, do some runs with whoever. I'd love to try it. I mean, maybe it's something I'll stream in the future, a little co-op.
It's apparently a local option only.
Oh, is it local only? Damn.
Four player local co-op.
Damn you Vampire Survivors people. Why can't I play online?
But I guess for that very reason, so to keep people on the same portion of the screen all the time. I guess you could do that online. I don't know.
Yeah.
What's cool is that this seems to be on every version of the game, even the newly released
port on Nintendo Switch, which is kind of neat. Also, I mean, you're someone who travels with your Switch a lot, and I'm sure if you got heavily into Vampire Survivors again, you'd like to take your progress on the go with you on Switch. Well, guess what? Hallelujah. They are working on cloud saves and cross saves between platforms. So that's you could take your Switch progress and take it on, or PC progress and take it on the Switch with you.
What about mobile progress? I mean,
it will be. So they're looking at moving saves between PC, mobile, and consoles while also adding cloud save slots.
That is very cool.
Game changer. You
know, this article mentioned something about an adventure mode, well, teases an adventure mode. I wonder, I'd love to see what that looks like. I don't know what it would be, but.
Do you think it would be more like,
more like narrative stuff, like an actual
narrative or objective based stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It'd probably be more objective based stuff, but I don't know. I almost envision it like you're playing through a story and you have to use a certain character and they give you like contextual or like story things you have to do.
And like, they're like, try and get this weapon or try and fuse this weapon or.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Imagine they give some great backstory to all of the characters. That'd be funny.
Amazing.
Listen, this is a great thing to happen just weeks or days even at this point before the premiere of Castlevania Nocturne on Netflix.
Oh my God.
September,
best time
middle
ever.
Of September. Fuck, I can't wait.
Can't
so
wait for that.
So fucking keen.
That trailer was good.
Alucard surely has to be in this still.
No, I'm sure
he'll
be around.
I can't wait for that raspy little voice to just appear again. Just Alucard, just being a little sad little vampire boy. It's good.
Little boy. Cool. Last
and we've got Richter this time.
I know.
We're in Symphony of the Night territory, boys.
we're here, we're getting there. Then last pieces of news quickly. Alan Wake 2 delayed by 10 days to avoid release date clashes, which makes a lot of sense.
This seemed very sensible. Yeah.
October is a real busy month. And I like that Remedy straight up acknowledged it. I think.
Yes.
So they straight up tweeted out an update from the Alan Wake 2 team, removing it to launch from October 17 to October 27. October is an amazing month for game launches, and we hope this date shift gives more space for everyone to enjoy their favorite games.
It is funny how, in the space of a week, two games both moved forward and backward to avoid October 20th, which is a shit show. Yeah. So Assassin's Creed Mirage got moved forward by like six or seven days.
Yeah.
And now Alan Wake got moved 7 days behind. And the reason being 20th of October is Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Wonder. No one wants to be on that day.
No.
Like Alan Wake moving off the 20th is the smartest decision they could have made. Like,
but I think it's so clever because it is phrased as a way of like, oh, like we want to give you more time to enjoy the games.
Mm.
But we all know.
No, it's smart. It's smart. They're not like, oh, we're running scared. Yeah.
I think it's very clever.
No, it's smart. They would have been absolutely buried by that. And you know, the first week of a game is so critical. So I still think that they run the risk of being buried because in a week, are people done playing Spider-Man and Super Mario? Probably not.
No.
You know, and even though there's not significant overlap between all of those audiences, it's still something they have to be aware of. I mean, just listen to October at the moment. We've got Detective Pikachu, 6th of October. Mm-hmm. Forza Motorsport, 10th of October. Assassin's Creed Mirage, 12th of October. Lords of the Fallen, 13th of October, which actually looks very good. Genuinely excited for that game.
Yeah.
Spider-Man 2 and Super Mario Bros. Wonder, 20th of October.
Mm-hmm.
City Skylines 2, Metal Gear Solid Master Collection, 24th of October. Alone in the Dark, 25th of October.
It is funny
and then
that
Alan Wake, 27th of October.
They're launching in the same week as Alone in the Dark because I know they.
Oh, they don't give a shit about Alone in the Dark.
No, but they're completely different games, but it's almost like tonally they're very similar. Kind of.
Oh, no, I think they're actually very similar games. Yeah. I just think that Alone in the Dark remake doesn't look that good.
Yeah.
So I think, if anything, Alone in the Dark is now worried that their lunch is going to be eaten. So,
my God.
Yeah, October is a fucking nightmare. Mm.
But it is the busiest month of the year. Like November tapers off very, very drastically. You've got Call of Duty and that's kind of like it. So yeah.
Last piece of news.
Yeah, just a quick update on games coming to Game Pass throughout the second half of August and early in September. So one of the games we spoke about releasing last week, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, mm-hmm. asymmetrical horror game, apparently very good.
Been getting
some like shockingly high reviews. Nice. GameSpot gave it a 9. Apparently pretty good. Wouldn't have guessed. So nice. That's out on Game Pass. Firewatch is coming to Game Pass for the second time in its history.
I'm pretty sure I played Firewatch on Game Pass.
Yeah, it was definitely there for a while, left, and now it's back. I think Firewatch is fantastic.
It's really
good. Think if you haven't had the chance to play it yet, it is a very good first-person narrative adventure. And their developer, as described here by Polygon, Campo Santo, hasn't released anything since being bought by Valve in 2018. I mean, they did contribute heavily to Half-Life Alyx, but yeah. Mm. Gree?
Or RP. Gree's really good.
First release in 2018. It's a platformer with a very heartfelt story. I have purchased Gree on 2 different platforms and still not played it. I have just it on PC and games. On Switch, and I just have not played it yet. So I need to give that a go. Nice. I guess I could play it on Game Pass now. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, as we explained. And then another big one actually here, Sea of Stars. It's a turn-based retro-styled role-playing game inspired by classics of the Super Nintendo era. I'm not sure if you've seen this, but it looks a lot like classic Final Fantasy RPGs.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's coming day one to Game Pass and PlayStation Plus Premium. So yeah, that's pretty cool. And that's out on August 29th.
Nice. Well, there you go.
Games leaving the service. Black Desert, Commandos 3, Immortality, Nuclear Throne, Surgeon Simulator 2, and Tinykin. Yeah, I as soon as I saw that on there, I was like, ooh, I need to try and play this before it's off because I know Matty loves it.
You can play it through Netflix, isn't it? Yeah. Play it on your iPad. It's not a game you like need to play, you know, on a PC or a console specifically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool. I think that is news for this week, which takes us then to you know what.
You know what? No, I don't actually. Tell me.
Questions. Oh my God.
Oh, questions.
We've been here for 234 episodes. 230 episodes.
If you want to send us questions, you can email us checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com or you can find us on our social platforms at Checkpoint Chat. What's on the docket for today?
So we actually have 2 questions. So we missed one last week from me as well. We didn't miss it. It just came in late. But I'll cover it this week. So he asks, is it weird that the vocal majority has a dislike on game ports that work 90% of the time and demand remakes instead? Personally, I'm happy if it works on modern platforms instead of relying on old, aging, dying hardware.
I think there's a very big difference between like playing a port of an old game or playing an old game that's supported on your hardware and
how much they charge
what we see as the modern remakes, you know. The modern remakes that, there are definitely remasters or things labeled as remakes that are coming out that are not that. I guess it's not labeled like that, but like Red Dead Redemption, put it that way. It's not a remake or a remaster. It's just a new way to play that game at a very, very inflated price. But if you look at things like Resident Evil 4 or just all the Resident Evil remakes, the things that kind of like set the bar for what a remake should be, I think those are wholly different games to what the originals were. And so both of them can exist in tandem. Like you can play the original and still have a good time. Like you can play the original Resident Evil 4, have a good time, and then appreciate a lot of the new things in the remake. I'm all in on remakes that look to
like just look at the original source material and see where they can improve while still paying homage to the original thing. I think Capcom's really figured that out. And I'm curious to see if like the Metal Gear Solid 3 remake figures that out in the same way. Mm. Dead Space figured that out as well.
Final Fantasy VII did a very good job as well.
Yeah, an incredible job of doing that. So yeah, and you know, those are all games we can play the originals of today on modern hardware without any issue. And I'm fine with that. Like I played Dead Space 1 last year before the remake came out and had a great time, and then played the remake this year and had an equally good time.
Mm.
So yeah, I think they can exist in tandem. I don't think people are looking at old games and being like, oh, I don't want to play that. I just want to play a remake. It's like the remake is more accessible usually, especially mechanics. Like play Resident Evil 4 now, the original. It's fucking weird.
Yeah.
Like the way that game controls is weird.
Mm-hmm.
But like it's still playable and you can still play it and it's fairly easy to obtain. So yeah. All for both.
Yeah. I think 100% agree with you. Why not both? I think they can both exist. Yeah. It's just a thing of when, like, the good recent example is the Red Dead Redemption port / whatever you want to call it. It's just an old game being charged at a full price, which is like, it's their good right, but it just feels a bit like unnecessary.
Feels icky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never played Red Dead Redemption 1. I do want to play it at some stage, but I don't really want to pay $50, $60 for it when it's old. You know? Give it to me for $20 or $30. It's still like a fair price, you know, maybe more than what it should be, but yeah.
Yeah.
I do
think that old games should at least be kept available on modern hardware or in a means where people can still play the originals rather than relying on, like, if ever Capcom came out and being like, okay, we're not allowing people to purchase the original Resident Evil 4 because the remake exists. Like, that's not okay. That's,
yeah.
Like, there should be a means to play those old games for a preservation purpose, you know what I mean? So,
yeah. cool. And then we have a question from Tyron Armstrong at Oddly Otter, but a guy
who asks, Oddly Otter,
have you ever bought a physical collector's deluxe edition of a video game because you really wanted the extras it came with? And then following on from that, have special editions of games lost significance ever since everything is digital these days?
I definitely have purchased many collector's editions.
I can't say I have.
I don't know if I own a
collector's edition, but I think you do. You've got some.
I can prattle off on that. I went through a phase where I was buying a lot of collector's editions, maybe because I was at Varsity and I had more disposable income than I had really any sense to use with. But I remember like my very first paycheck I got from what was then Lazy Gamer when I moved over there, I used to purchase the collector's edition of The Witcher 3 because I really wanted that figurine. Still got that figurine. It's really nice. Mm. I purchased multiple Assassin's Creed collector's editions because they came with cool things. Like, I know Assassin's Creed 2 came with this like cool like chest with a bunch of stuff in it and even a little hidden compartment in it. Assassin's Creed 3 came with a really, really cool statue of Connor, even though that game was absolute ass. I bought the collector's edition for God of War, even though I got a review copy. Like, I really wanted that figure. Trying to think of other big ones. I feel like I got a Horizon one. No, I didn't get a Horizon one.
You didn't have Bioshock Infinite, do you?
No. Yes, I do. I wanted the Songbird. Yeah, I got that as well.
That is quite a cool collector's edition.
Yeah. Also another one where I had the review copy, but I just bought the collector's edition. Mm. So this is why I'm actually kind of a fan of the sort of model of collector's editions now where they offer the collector's edition without the game because that allows people like me who get the game from other means or people who like having the games digitally to purchase them separately.
Yeah.
You don't have to double dip on a physical copy of a game. Like, I don't understand why people don't understand this. Like, they see a collector's edition without the game and they're like, oh, they're just money grabbing. It's like, no, they've removed the cost of the game so you can get the game wherever you want. Yeah, you know what I mean? So like, but yeah, I would say to that point, like a lot of these collector's editions when I got them, I think, especially locally, the exchange rate has really stifled my want to do that because collector's editions now, like, for example, The Witcher 3 was like 2015. that collector's, that was the most premium one they offered, was 2,000 Rand.
Mm.
That is the price almost of a standard game nowadays, where the collector's editions are pushing 6,500 Rand. It's too much. It's way too much. It's like borderline half the price of a console. Like, yeah. No. So I haven't bought one in a very long time. Mm. I just also don't think a lot of them, I feel like a lot of the collector's editions we used to get were a lot better than what we get now. There's very few that I look at and go, ooh, I really want that, you know.
Yeah.
Even the Cyberpunk 2077 one I thought was kind of like lame.
Oh, damn.
So yeah, I haven't bought many of those. But yeah, you have quite a few, like, I wouldn't say collector's editions, but you got a few like really cool press packs over the years. Like, yeah, I know you got a really nice Overwatch one.
Oh, yeah, that came with a Soldier 76 statue.
That figurine was really nice.
It was, yeah. But the only things I've really collected over the years are smaller, like Dota 2 had those, what are they called? There's a name for them. I can't remember what they're called. Yeah, those.
Something Tiny But Deadly or whatever.
Yeah, those. Like, I collected a few of those. Blizzard had a very similar range. We bought
a bunch of those in Gamescom for obscene amounts of money. It's great.
Blizzard had a similar range of those. And then Amiibo. I collected a bunch of Amiibo before Amiibo became way too expensive. Like,
yeah,
an Amiibo.
I'm still a mark for those, yeah.
But like an Amiibo, when they launched, cost, like, to your point, like, it was 150 Rand.
Yeah, it was around about there.
Now,
yeah.
Amiibo,
and now over 300.
It's like 300, 400 Rand. I'm like, man, it's.
Well, you were with me when we were at the Tears of the Kingdom launch, and I picked up the Link one. It was like $350. And
which,
I was like, Jesus,
given,
Christ,
you know, it's really good quality. Like, Amiibo are really nice, but I'm like, man,
they are.
That's,
yeah, yeah.
I just because I know I paid a lot less for it at some stage. Also, busy moving my life, didn't have time to collect stuff. I still have all of that stuff. I need to figure out how to bring it over at some stage.
I still have a bunch of my stuff in a box. I mean, I moved more than 2 years ago now, and there's just like, I've put up some stuff, but I just don't have space for everything like I used to. So a lot of it just lives in a box. I will say though that I've, instead of buying collector's editions, especially when it comes to video game memorabilia, like, there's been a lot of other ways to buy video game stuff that's like tangential to that. So like Lego, for example.
Yeah.
Like, I bought the Horizon Tallneck and the BD1 Lego sets because they're cool video game things and I love Lego. So like, I'd rather spend money on that than a figurine for a collector's edition, put it that way. Yeah. What was the second part of this question? I forgot.
Have they lost? Let me just double check. Have special editions of games lost significance ever since everything is digital these days? But I think you did answer that, in that you can buy collector's edition separate to your game.
Yeah, that's becoming more and more commonplace. I know EA does that a lot, which I like. Again, I appreciate. Some don't. I know the Mortal Kombat collector's edition comes with the game, so it's like, people don't like physical games. So for the sheer reason of like laziness, they don't want to get up and put a disc in their console. Some people don't own consoles that even work with discs, you know, like the PS5 digital, that one that's slim that is rumored to be coming out is apparently not going to ship with a disc drive. So it's like, I think if you're going to offer a collector's edition, offer it sans the cost of the game. So technically, you know, you're not screwing people. It's not a $200 collector's edition that now just doesn't come with the game.
Yeah.
And give people the choice. But I do see from a business sense how, you know, including the game kind of like impulse forces that purchase, you know.
Yeah.
Like, will people buy the fancy toys if it doesn't come with the game? I don't know.
Who knows?
But I think that's how it's evolving. The companies are having to kind of like figure that out. But I do think there's far fewer collectors. I feel like every big release 5 years ago had a collector's edition. Now you just don't see it that much
anymore.
True. It's definitely lost prevalence.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Although, but then you do get like big baller ones, like Starfield. It's coming with a fucking smartwatch in it.
I would love to be on a team of people who pitch collector's editions for certain games, because Like, who said in a meeting one day, like, yeah, let's just give away a smartwatch with Starfield?
And they saw the watch in game and they're like, we can model that into a real watch.
We can definitely
like,
do that.
I will say this much. Never, ever, ever buy something that is like meant to have a like technical purpose as a collector's edition thing, because it'll always be shit. I think the only example of this not being true is when, Jesus, back in the day, I think it was Modern Warfare 2 or 3, they offered night vision goggles. The collector's edition, which is kind of crazy. Apparently that thing was really cool. And I remember a year or two after that, you got like a fridge, like a mini fridge from COD Zombies that you could fit like 3 or 4 cans into or whatever. Those seem to be cool. The rest, like whenever it's something that's meant to be technological or something like a remote control car or a smartwatch. I mean, I've read things about how the smartwatch is some rebrand of some really cheap ass. Like, it's not going to be worth it. Just don't save your money and don't bother.
Yeah.
Don't bother with that. Yeah. The Spider-Man Collector's Edition looks nice. I like that statue with Venom. Looks pretty cool.
Yep.
It's way too expensive, but it looks pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. Do you want to pay $5,000 for Spider-Man 2? No. I don't.
Get me pictures of Spider-Man, not collector's editions of Spider-Man.
That's what J. Jonah Jameson always says, yeah.
I love that guy. and on that note, that is all the questions for this week. Thank you for submitting them.
Yeah, thank you. And if you also want to get your questions answered on the show, at Checkpoint Chat on social media or checkpointchatpodcast@gmail.com via email. Message anytime, email anytime. Can be 3 a.m. Who knows? Up to you, man.
Who knows?
I'm not your mom.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. Good Lord. Thank God.
Cool.
That's been episode... what 230 of Checkpoint Chat. Somehow we made this go a normal length. I have no fucking clue how that worked.
We got it, but yeah, shit.
We did it. We Gucci. Gucci. As always, we thank you so much for listening. And we hope you have a delightful week. And we will be back next week. Until then, goodbye.
Goodbye.